بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. إن شاء الله today we continue in Asma Allah al-Husna or Sifatuhu al-Ula, the attributes and the names, beautiful and most high names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today's name inshaAllah will be Ar-Rashid. And as we are used to reflect on the names with the general meaning of what that word in Arabic means. And the word Rushd, of course, Ar-Rashid in a way of superlative form. So, in an exaggeration form, if you will, of Ar-Rashid, or from the word Rushd. And when we say something that is, we exaggerate in the names of Allah, what does that mean? Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and attributes are complete, are the epitome of things, so it does not have a degree in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a name of His names in this form of being superlative, it means that Allah does both. He has so much of the attribute and give it in so many and so on all His creation at the same time. So it is superlative in a complete way. It is the epitome. When it is the name of Allah and the action of Allah, it happens in abundance all the time to everyone. So, when we try to put things together, okay, now we're going to some kind of a feeling of what that means mean. Well, first to say the names are Rashid or Rushd from the word Rushd. Rushd, you could say it is. I'm sorry. Okay, it is, if we say a vision of what to do, and a knowledge of what to do, a hikmah of what to do. Now, this, if a person who has that is a person who have rushd. Okay? A person who has rushd is a person who reaches, grow up from a way of immaturity to maturity. Okay? So the word rushd itself, it gives you the completion of the ability to see things as they are and put it together as they should be and to give it when it should be given. Okay? It's a complete knowledge with a complete ability. And example with us, we know, like, everything with us is pure, right? Like many, we can have many things, let's say, retract. Many things that we have could be pure, meaning, we can have sugar that's pure, right? as some scholars put it. And you have salt that is pure. And you have certain chemicals, okay, that is pure. Okay? But now, when you put it together, okay, it has to be put together with wisdom. It has to be put together with guidance. Right? So, not necessarily because everything is pure. So when you put it together, the results, you get good results and pure. Okay? If you add the sugar to the chemicals and put it in water, you cannot drink it. It could become poisonous. Okay? So, this is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Okay? There are many things are pure, but how to use them? Okay? A relationship between a man and a woman is pure. Okay? But not in just any way and in any union. It has to be within a specific union and a specific, you know, instructions and so forth. Okay, so it's pure. And on and on and on. So, our life needs guidance. And Allah is the one who guides. Allah gives us things that are in abundance and pure. But Allah tells us how to lead our lives within these pure things. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is ar-Rashid, with the one with the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom to tell us and make things happen to us, tell us what to do, how to do things, and make things that happen to us in the most wise way. So, when something happened to us, we know that it's happening to us by ar-Rashid. So this has the epitome of wisdom in it. When we are told to do something, and it is in the way of Allah, then it is, when Allah tells us to do something, and it is of course in the way of Allah, then it has to be the epitome of submission and surrendering, and the best thing, because it is coming from ar-Rashid. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servant, Allah brings them up to this level of rushd. The level of rushd. The level of being able to see things deeper than others. The ability to take knowledge in clarity than others. To be able to make decisions more wise and clear than others. That is a level of rushd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions, they went through so much, okay, for the companions to get to that level. In the life of the companions at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them about a rule that they should not defend themselves physically. It is prohibited. You cannot fight. You cannot hold a sword. Okay? So what did that do? See now, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, the most knowledgeable, the most of everything, ar-Rashid. Okay? Put that rule from the very beginning. Okay. Now, many people who do not have rushd would say what? What kind of rule is this? What would that do? Dear innocent people being killed, they being tortured. Okay? You know, if there is time to hold the sword to protect yourself, would be now. Okay? But what did that do to the believers and to the environment? The environment that they were in. The Arabs at that time, they would defend one another because they are from their own tribes. So, they would say, if my cousin calls me to stand by him and to go to war, I will stand by him, fight beside him against his enemy, and when the war is over, I'll tell him what was that all about. Meaning, no question asked. You just, you're in need, you are from my cousin, my tribe, and so forth, my family. I will come to your rescue no matter what. Meaning, justice, injustice, that doesn't matter. You know, clanship is very important. So, imagine if the companions were allowed to hold the sword first. At the very beginning, many will come to their rescue. Okay? Because now their cousin is fighting people who are from other tribes. I got to come to his rescue. Okay? But now, people will be standing next to Muslims because of tribalship, because of clanship, because of whatever ship, okay, it is. Not because of Islam, not because of La ilaha illallah. So by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you do not hold the sword, what happened? Muslims had to really believe that this is something worthy to get into, because they're going to be going through a lot of difficulty. And now anybody will stand by them, because of what they carry of Islam, not because of anything else. So that helped in to diffuse this tribalship, okay, and to bring the word La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in a way of purity of belief and purity of standing by it. Okay? What else did that do? As a human being, what we naturally, if you will, inclined to do first is to have or what is built in us a survival mode that comes on first. Okay? So, if you are thrown somewhere, what is the first thing that you think about? Let's say if you are traveling, what is the first thing that you're thinking about? I'm going to arrive to point B, the state of, let us say, Oklahoma. What is the first thing you're going to think about? What you're going to eat, where you're going to eat, and what? A place to stay. Right? Right now, we don't think about it in a kind of animal instinct, or you understand, or kind of a survival mode, because you have the cell phone and the yellow pages. That's an old kind of thing, right? Now it is old kind of thing, right? And so forth, right? But let us say if you're traveling on a camel and going somewhere, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to gather your food, what food you're going to take with you, how you're going to camp, where you know, it is a matter of survival here, okay? So, human being is always in a mood of survival first. So you want to make sure that the food is there, make sure that the safety of a place to stay or to build for yourself, for your own protection, right? That comes first. Safety, protection, survival. And then after that, the society that you are in, right? So you build a society where rules are there and regulations are there to make sure that your safety is still there, your rights are given, and your rights are protected, and so that becomes a safety of community. Okay? So now, when all of that happened, the Western, you know, mentality and thought, they say, after all of that happened, they think that enlightenment starts. And what is enlightenment to that kind of thinking? Enlightenment, that means right now you're a person who has food available, not worried about it. Okay? You're a person who can lock your door and make sure that no wild animal will come to you, or some people will come. You have alarm systems and things, you know. And now you are a person that you come out in your neighbors, your safety, neighborhood, and you have your rights of taking, you know, care of and so forth. Then you can sit back now at the end of the day, drink a cold lemonade and say, you know, how did this universe start? Right? Where did we come from? Okay? What is this life about? And where we are going. You understand? And they call this enlightenment. Okay? Enlightenment. That you start thinking now of what is, you know, where are you going and all of this. And another word for it is philosophy and all of that. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rashid, okay, with his wisdom, he stripped the Muslim from all of that, except enlightenment. Okay? So, they were not safe, and they could not hold a sword to protect themselves. So they were very, you know, it makes an impression in the soul of a person, or heart of a person. You don't know what's going to happen to you next. And Allah let them be that way. Quraysh pushed the Muslim into Shab Abi Talib in an area where they were boycotted, if you will, that they are together, they have no food, and no supply of food should enter to them. They have no communication with others. No others should communicate with them, outsiders. And a complete blockade, if you will. Okay? So now, they have no safety as individuals. They have no safety as community. They have nothing. Okay? But they were the most enlightened people ever walked in this earth. Okay, that thought is so powerful. And that stage of the Muslimin was so powerful. Because such a person going, a person that goes through this experience, jazakallah khair, through that experience produces a human being that is so powerful. Because you ask this person now what you're going to eat, said, I don't know. What's going to happen to you tomorrow? I don't know. Who is the creator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened after death? Jannah or hellfire? Where are you coming from? From Adam alayhi salam that Allah created first. We're all coming from Allah. You understand? What is life is about? It's about obedience to Allah and His Messenger. about مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn and ins except to worship me. So they had all these answers. They were the most enlightened. Do you know the human being from generations after generations, civilization after another, they trying to answer these questions. Try to know what this life is about. Those who are misguided do not have guidance. Okay? Philosophers all throughout history and all of this, they try to philosophize this and so forth. They had all these answers. In other words, they were carrying the absolute truth. And they had nothing to survive with. And they did not care. That must have been a very powerful experience that they went through. And must implanted Islam in their heart so strong. And the relationship with Allah became so strong. So, who is the creator? Allah. Who is the provider? Allah. So what doesn't Allah provide for you now and help you? Because it is the wisdom of Allah. Anyway, it's okay with us. You understand? So, here is recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Okay? Through this experience, that Allah will put them through things and it is good for them. And they might not understand how good and how it is working, but they submit that it is working because Allah put it through it. Allah is the most wise. Allah is al-Rashid. Allah is the most knowledgeable. Allah is al-Alim. Allah is the most wise. Allah is al-Hakim. So, this is good. Okay? Now, how did that all end? How did it end? Okay? By the way, that kind of agreement from Quraysh to do this to the Muslimin was written in a paper and on the Kaaba. On the Kaaba. Okay? And some people who are not Muslim from Quraysh, they did not like this after a while. After months and months and years. So they said, this is not going to go on. How could we say that we are, dignified people and allow this happen to some of us? How could we, in history will go through and say in the history of the past that we did this to our own, relatives and so forth? This has to end. And they were an instrument to end all of this. See, Allah brought it through people who are not even Muslim. Okay? And they went to that sahifa, that document on the Kaaba, and they found out that an insect ate all the words up. Okay? So the document was not there anymore. Except, and this is in history, right? Except Bismakallahum. Okay? The word of Allah was mentioned there. Okay? So that's not the point. But the point is, Allah, with His wisdom, Ar-Rashid, Ar-Rashid is not the wise. Okay? We discussed it, we said it at the beginning. Okay? Rashid is more of the, having a vision, being able to make the right decision, having the knowledge of making the decision, and seeing the outcome of this and so forth. Allah Ar-Rashid decided that this matter has to stop now, because now the Muslimin, they have enough, and we reached the point that I want them to reach. So the matter was done. And the boycott was over. So, in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing the same thing similar with us. Different ways and different levels and different matters and so forth. But it is a continuous experience that we're going through. Okay? That Allah with His servants, dealing them with them in a certain way to give them the best and produce from them the best of quality and ability and attributes. Okay? So long that they submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that keeps on going and keeps on going. When we see how the Muslim lives, or the Muslim ummah, went through, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disciplined them many times in history. Disciplined them many times in history. You find at the very beginning in the time of Uhud, okay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran what happened in the time of Uhud. Verse after verse in Surah Al-Imran. Verse after verse of what happened. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. When you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you went and you're telling the Muslims about their appointed place in the battlefield, and Allah hears you and Allah sees you. Okay? إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَ. And two groups were about to collapse. وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. And Allah, their caretaker. وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah, the waliyu of the believer. Allah describes, وَإِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ وَلَا تَلْوُونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. When you were climbing up, in the time of the collapse, that climbing up, and you're not looking back. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. And the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behind you, calling you. Okay? Allah describes the chaos that was happening. The chaos that was happening. And Allah, during this, Allah says, مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some of you was looking for dunya, and some of them were looking for the hereafter. And when the companions heard, some companions says, we did not know that some of us were looking for dunya. We didn't know this. And those, of course, that they were looking for something from this dunya, they said, to themselves, Allah did not expose them by name. Okay? They must have said, this was us. Who were they? That Allah appointed them on the mount. On the mount. The archer. Allah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you do not leave this your place. If you see us win and go after them to Mecca, do not leave your place. If you see us lose and they're winning and they come to us to Medina, do not leave your place. Very specific instructions. This is your place. Do not leave it. Okay? What happened? The battle started. The army of the Muslims started winning. The disbelievers start running away until the believers said, and we started to see the heels of women. Meaning, the people are in front of them now, there are women. And women usually are the end of the army, helping supplies and so forth. That means this is the end, right? This is it. Okay? So those archers looked and said, oh, just like the time of Badr, right? Just no problem. And we are believers, right? So no problems at all. Right? And now, remember the time of Badr? There were spoils of war and collected and took some spoils of war. There are many spoils of war there, right? So, they let go with the instructions. And they left the mount and went down after the spoils of war. And so beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He described subhanahu wa ta'ala these descriptions in the Quran, Allah stopped, seems to be stopping in the subject, talking about the subject matter, and then Allah talked about riba. All of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَا أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Where is the riba? Oh believers, wa alaykum as-salamu wa barakatuh. Oh believers, do not eat riba and so forth. Okay, adaf, mudaafa, compounding and all of this. So Allah would have mercy upon you. Okay? And be aware of hellfire. And follow Allah and the Messenger. Okay, so you have, Allah will have mercy on you. Where does this fit in all of this? And then after that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about the battle again. So what is the essence of this? That the believers, when they left the mount, looked at the spoils of war, going after it, that was trying to go after increase in wealth in appropriate or in a haram way. That is riba. Okay? Trying to increase your wealth in a haram way, in a way that is not prescribed by Allah and His Messenger. That is riba. Okay? So, at that, in that environment, and the Muslim lost. Allah put them through Allah al-Rashid, and Allah al-Hakim, and Allah al-Alim, put them through this, so they learned their lesson. Okay? So, Islam won, as we heard in the khutbah today. Islam won, but the Muslim lost. See? Islam won, but the Muslim lost. Because Islam won, meaning the concept of Islam won, that you, if you surrender to Allah, and Allah will obey Allah, Allah will give you victory. But if you say you are a Muslim and not surrendering to Allah and His Messenger, you're going to lose. And when you lose, that's when Islam wins. Because Allah told you so, and this is part of Islam. So, and here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the believers wounded, and many of them died, to Medina. The following day, they put themselves up and they went after the Quraysh again. Quraysh was coming to them to finish them off. And they went up against them. The point being is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that experience, because of His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way that Allah dealt with them, what happened? Immediately, they became to the rushd. They became to the rushd. What is the rushd that they became to? That they came to? It's the rushd of what? Of knowing. And became clear to them that their stand with Allah was not correct. It became clear to them that you do this, this will happen, and you do that, this will happen. So you have to be clear in your intention. You have to be clear in your implementation. You have to be clear in your relationship with Allah. Okay? Then, when you know, then the result is going to be clear to you even before you start. So Allah brought them, Allah al-Rashid brought them back to the rushd in one day with that experience. Or experience again. With that experience. Okay? So, to this attribute is to recognize it, is very important to us. All the attributes we should recognize. Okay? That this attribute that is with Allah, and Allah deals with us to bring us to the that level of rushd. Okay. Remember the ayat of Ramadan in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah? Okay. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Right? And then the Siyam is written upon you like it was written upon those before you, so you may preach taqwa. And then now the details of Siyam and Siyam, and then Siyam and Siyam, Siyam and Siyam. And then after that, what are the ayat that comes after that? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks you about me, I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ. I answer the supplication of those who ask. Okay. فَإِذَا دَعَانِ. When he supplicate to me, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. So they should respond to me and they should believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That is the word, يَرْشُدُونَ. Okay, from رُشْد, from الرَّشِيد. So they, now we look at it and say, so they would reach what? Maturity? You understand? So they would reach what? Having vision? They would reach what? Having wisdom? So they would reach having knowledge? All of that in this word, Yarshudun. Okay? So imagine, here is Siyam to get you to that level. Here is the end of Siyam, you're making dua. At the end of Ramadan, and you are in the mood of all of this, right? And Allah says, respond to me now. It is the coming to a what would the word I'm going to use? The peak, yes, coming to a peak. All of this coming to a peak now. And here is Laylatul Qadr, right? And here is you making dua. And here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this is more than 80 years worth of worship, right? And all of that, what? Allah puts rushd in all of this. Put rushd in all of this. Okay? Now when you hear that word again now, when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Rashid now what we talked about today is you should get that impression now. Okay? You should get that feeling. You should get this knowledge of this is what this word is about. Okay? And when we are aware, just like all the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are aware of this, it makes our life a better life. Okay? It heightens our awareness of things. It takes us from darkness into light. Again, what is darkness? Things that are round that you cannot see because it is dark. What is light? Light, those things that are there now because you turn the light on, you could see. This is what it is. This is what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes all around us. And people are in darkness. You do not relate things that are happening, things that is existing, wars that goes on, peace that goes on, earthquake that goes on, losing a loved one that goes on, losing a job that goes, you know, everything. They do not relate it to the attributes of Allah. They do not, you say, do not attribute it to Allah. And it's not clear to them. So they are in darkness, and life becomes difficult for them, and they scratch their head, and they say, why is this? And believers are in different degrees in understanding and seeing this. Okay? Subhanallah. The more we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more this matter, the more we are turning the lights on, right, in our head and in our hearts. So things become more clear. Events become more clear. Our life becomes more clear and becomes more comfortable and becomes more satisfying and becomes easier to understand, easier to deal with, easier to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah, as we are used to, it is time for you now, inshaAllah, to make comments. Please turn this on, inshaAllah. But yes. Turn the microphone on and take it. No, you have to use the microphone. Because this, yes.
No, today what I was listening to, watching the news, BBC News, yeah, and subhanAllah, you know, all the brothers in Pakistan, 400 people died in the water washed away.
I did not hear about
it. Yes, I saw the TV this week. No, the heavy rain. Rain came so fast, they didn't even know. There was no rain like this for almost 92 years. Mm. And 400 people washed away, and I saw in Pakistan, Islamabad, Kashmir,
SubhanAllah.
And also the Peshawar area, Khyber Pass, and part of Afghanistan. And these people were suffering so bad. I saw the water was running like 100 miles per hour, and the old people like me,
They brought pictures of that? No, they actually, you've seen it. SubhanAllah. InshaAllah, Allahumma. Naam, Allahumma. I'm sorry?
Maybe more people
will die. Well, something like this would happen, yeah. Usually, the aftermath of this is could be equal to the calamity itself. Allahumma rahmatika bihim ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma rahmatika bihim ya rabbal alamin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Talking about guidance and rushd, and you know, we go to the subject. SubhanAllah. This week I was working with a surgeon in Sibley Hospital, and this surgeon is like maybe 65 or 67, almost. You know, about to retire, you know, not the young one.
So he must be in a very good health to be a surgeon.
Yeah. He still have his health, and he have nothing he did not have. He have money, he have health, you know, children, everything. Allah gave him everything. Power, you know, everything, you know. So he was, the surgery room was a very unique combination of religious people. Was me, and there is another brother from Afghanistan, Muslim. He's the assistant to the surgeon. And there was a Christian charge nurse from the Hallelujah guys. You know, Hallelujah guys. You know, she's very Catholic. Hallelujah. And the anesthesia is nothing. You don't believe in anything. And another nurse who is preparing, she is from Philippines. She is agnostic. She worship, I don't know, some kind of, you know,
idol worshiper.
Idol worshiper, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this surgeon. So he's telling that the agnostic one, the Filipino, he said, light me a candle or something, you know. She said, why you need a candle?
No, agnostic meaning like does not believe in anything.
Oh, no, no, the, let's say,
idol worship.
The idol worshiper. He said, light me a candle. This is kind of religion they have. You light a candle for whatever reason you want. So she said, why? He said, oh, I need some, you know, blessing. He said, she said, so you don't believe in... somebody asked him, you don't believe in God? He said, well, I have everything, combination, you know. He said, I go sometimes to church. I don't mind go to Mecca, you know, read Quran. I don't mind, you know. But I said, I am covering myself from all bases. He said, I'm covering from my all bases. And then the guy, anesthesia, he pushed him a little bit. He said, So do you believe in God or you don't believe in God? He said.
All this
I think,
surgery?
Yeah. They talk so much. You don't know that.
You're scaring me to go in through anything.
No. They talk so much. I did not say anything, you know, so far. So he said, Subhanallah, he quoted exactly Surah Al-Kahf, what Allah said in the Quran, the surgeon.
Oh.
He said, I am a good guy. I am sure, he said, I am sure that if there is God, I will be giving a very high status there.
And
exactly, Surah Al-Kahf. That's exactly what the guy, he told, you know, they are talking. Huh? Aywa? Sahib al-Jannah, he said, Exactly, that's what exactly. So he said that. When he said that, and he left, you know, and that, lots comment, you know, and he left. I said, Subhanallah, yani. So the anesthesia is, so I'm just saying that how Allah, when he does not, he said something before he left. He said, I am waiting for the light. Something come on me so I could, you know, figure out what's going on. He's 67, right? He doesn't believe in anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not permit him.
If he is sincere looking, Allah will...
He's not sincere. He's not looking. He's just making sarcastic comments, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm waiting for the light to hit me so I could see. Subhanallah. Talking about Rushd, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to guide somebody and open his heart, there's no way anybody stop him. And when, you know, a guy like this, a neurosurgeon with everything in the world you want, right? Mm. And Allah misguide him. And, you know.
Because that's what he wants.
That's what he wants. Yeah, that's what he wants. He does not, Huh? No. I'm saying in the surgery room, there was all religions, and you're represented from all religions, Muslims and a Christian, and a agnostic, and worship idols, all of them there. So, He left. I did not have a chance to say, but this, for him, I will not say anything. This is, I know him, there is no hope in this guy. But when he left, then the anesthesia told he said, "Woo, this was close. It could be worse than this. You know, we have a lot of religions could be offended here." So the nurse, hallelujah, you know, she said, no. It's all this. We all believe in the same thing here. I said, no.
I said, no.
We believe there is one God only. That's it. There is no, you know, anything with it. So the guy, the anesthesia said, oops. Here you go, all the other religions went down the toilet. I said, no, basically. So I told the, you know, this nurse have some, there is hope in her still, you know. I just asked her a question. I said, who is the God before Musa, when Musa came? Because they believe in Musa, you know, Moses. I said, there is a God before Moses? There was a God? She said, yeah. I said, so Moses worshiped God? She said, yeah. I said, so that's what exactly we are talking about. There is one God. He is the one who sent Moses and sent Jesus and sent Muhammad. And that's basically it. So she wanted to mumble this. She said, all of them one. You know, I said, no, this is not all of them one. There is only one God, not all of them one. There is only one God. And you know, the discussion stopped here because we were busy getting things, you know. But talking about the surgeon, so, yeah, subhanAllah, when somebody, you know, guided and see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a huge difference from the people living in the dark, you know, and almost finish their life not knowing anything. Me? No, I was not the patient. Yeah, oh. No, they don't, they don't fight with you or something. Maybe now they will not treat me the same. They will have a different treatment. Yeah, sometimes, but I don't know. It doesn't matter.
That Muhammad is here? MashaAllah, how are you, Muhammad? Umayyad is here too? Yeah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.